This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Here's a guy I need to play golf with, Sean Flower, down in Eureka at the Legends. That is definitely on the list of things to do. Mayor Flower, how are you this afternoon?
Doing real good, Mark.
You are also a home builder. That is the circumstance that you are welcomed into the show today, because you're the president of Flower and Fendler Homes. You used to be the past president of the St. Louis Home Builders Association. And here's why I thought of you, Sean. I'm hearing Kamala Harris. I'm watching football, and I see all these Kamala Harris ads, how she's going to change the country. She's going to build a million homes. I think she's going to do that with a magic wand. Maybe you can confirm to me. But these allegations, even on the Republican side, you know, there's a lot of talk about home building. I want to know what the realities are of where home building is right now and some of the struggles that your industry continues to be in.
Well, the biggest problem they have is everybody looks at it in a real short-term window. And if you really look at it, you say we stopped building houses in the 2008 crisis, or we stopped putting lots on the ground, and we basically burned through all the lots that were on the ground between about 2008 and about 2015. And we started ramping up after that. But that's the problem, is we've been chronically behind because we stopped for a big period of time. So it's become a big issue. And now when the pandemic ramped up and we had more demand and we're continuing to have more houses formed, we just have a huge imbalance where we have way more people that want to buy a house than we have houses that are out there. And it's driving prices up. And the whole time we're doing that, both every state, local, and federal policy effectively is fairly anti-building, because it's just the regulatory environment gets worse every year. It's hard to build. It gets harder every year to put a house on the ground if you wanted to.
Can you put that into perspective? Because I talk about, you know, regulation all the time, and the federal bureaucracy and red tape and how it costs businesses. One of the examples that I use, I just mentioned, and occasionally I mention my friend Rick Niner, who's out in Las Vegas. He works in the industrial gas industry. It's kind of boring. It's nitrogen and oxygen to industry, but also to hospitals. And when we were talking, you know, 4 years ago about, remember, Sean, there were stories about we don't have enough oxygen, right? Well, that wasn't the case at all. We had plenty of oxygen. We had liquid oxygen that couldn't be easily converted, you know, with the infrastructure that they had. And one of the reasons that a lot of the hospitals in California, now, mind you, this is completely different in Missouri, that they couldn't update some of their technology is because of the bureaucracy. And it would take, you know, from the permitting on down, it would take like 2 years to actually get something done. Now, that, I would hope, is not that bad here, but you have counties, depending on what county. If you're in St. Louis County, I'm guessing it's more cumbersome, right?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if you're in a state or local area, sometimes St. Louis is very cut up in their, like, say, zoning. But, you know, generally speaking, everybody will say, oh, we want housing. But when your project actually comes in to be zoned, or you're trying to get a larger piece of ground cut up into smaller pieces, you tend to have a lot of opposition. The best example I can give is the federal government gets involved in a lot of different local subdivisions. So if you have any type of like creek or running water on your property, you could end up doing. I mean, I've actually in the last 2 years been on three projects where I've been in the woods at night with two tennis nets up trying to catch this white-nosed bat because that could potentially be in the area. And so you spend, I mean, I've literally got, you know, you look at it and you go, you got $20,000, $30,000 trying to catch bats on a project in Fenton in between four subdivisions.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's an infill project.
Yeah.
And it takes months. I mean, you're hiring specialists. So I can go on and on and on with the different costs, but you start adding that up in that subdivision, a 25-lot subdivision. If I have, you know, $25,000 and trying to catch bats, that's $1,000 a customer that just run the price.
That's a good
And point. Everybody takes a cut like that. So I could give you a bunch, but there are all sorts of those costs, and neither of the policies, particularly when they start talking about throwing $25,000 at it, it'll be like that car thing where they said they're going to give you a $7,000 credit and every electric car went up $7,000
right.
after they passed the bill. I mean, it does nothing. It just spices demand even more. You need to get, if you don't hear a policy that pushes increased supply and lowering regulation, you're just, it's not going to happen, and you'll just continue to see prices get harder for young people to afford.
So, Sue, where I live, I always describe it like right over by 141 and 44, there's a Drury Inn, there's a Sugar Fire right there, and then way up above there on those cliffs, what was the damn water slide that used to be there?
Wet Willie's,
right. Yeah. So is it on that side, Sean, is it on that side of 141 where Wet Willie's is, where Eilerman and Jane's brothers built all those houses with McBride? Because I drove up there into that subdivision. You could see it from 44. You could see it from 141.
Yeah, it's up on top of that hill up there.
Oh, my God, I couldn't believe how many homes were in there.
Really?
I mean, it looks like it's maybe a subdivision that's got 20 homes. There must have been three times that amount. And I guess I bring it up because it's amazing to me, and I know the demand is there, where homes are being squeezed into. And then if you look up on that bluff, Sue, these people, they basically have no yard whatsoever. And if someone, you know, pushed them off their deck, they would fall down to the lane that sits below.
That can't be good.
But, Sean, I mean, that's people want houses, and that's what you're going to have to do,
tells
right?
You that tells you the state of what's going on in a lot of situations. You know, especially in St. Louis County, you've gone through a lot of the most desirable properties, so you keep moving down that list. But that does tell you, I mean, people want, how they need them bad, and if they can get them on the ground and go, there's a demand for that type of housing. And in Eureka, we've had over 1,000 homes, I think, built in two large McBride subdivisions out here in the last couple of years, and that's been a huge draw because you can still have some moderate pricing on it. But people are, I mean, they look, you know, I always tell people now, I'm selling new homes to people that don't even want to buy a house, don't want to buy a new home. They'd love to find a resale, but they can't find anything even for sale.
Yep.
And that's the other hidden one is every policy you have right now is inflationary for housing because the rates have gone up. So everybody's in their house at 2.5%. They know if they get a mortgage, they're at 6% right now. So they really don't want to move, which keeps everybody locked in their house. And then the only thing is the new houses and all the cost of our materials, lots, everything are very high. So it's just, that's why I say if you're not addressing those core concerns, you're just not being honest with
people. Sean Flowers here, he's the mayor of Eureka, but also the president of Flower and Fendler Homes. What would you say to a young person? Look, I have kids that are 27 and 24. They're just starting off, you know, basically in life. My son's a teacher. These young kids, they don't think they'll ever be able to buy a home. Sean, what would you say about that?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to at least try and get on that ladder. But it is, if you're looking to try and live in an inner ring area, it's very difficult to find it. But I still encourage people, I mean, if you can get going, and even if you have to live a little further out than where you want to be to get started, I really think it's helpful because it does build equity. And it's almost, you know, in a way, it's like you're investing in all the wood, concrete, all those materials that are going up. If you don't do it, I mean, the alternative is just keep saving your money. But it's hard to catch up if you never start.
True.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, it's hard to envision another, not that it won't happen in the future, but something to really go bust just because there's too much demand.
Correct.
Yeah, you will not see another 2008, and again, or not for, not never, but you won't see it for a long time because literally I spent years, we didn't develop a single lot. I mean, years, and I was at a builder that was doing 300 a year. There's actually a number of two weird ones. But there's actually less carpenter hours being spent on new construction right now than there was in the 90s. And there's actually, if you took like the 2008 list of top 10 builders, the numbers that we're building now, the only one that would still be in that top 10 is McBride and Eilerman. Everybody else's numbers now are so low, they wouldn't even qualify to be in that top 5 to 10 in the 2008 paper just on the total quantity we're doing.
Wow.
So just not adjusting for inflation, not adjusting for raw numbers. I mean, think about that. Raw numbers, there's less, with all these new families, there's less people, less carpenter hours being spent than there were 15, 20 years ago. We're not getting out of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Is part of the equation, are you, if you had more carpenters and more contractors and more builders,
it would help tremendously.
It would.
I walked by a crew today. My brother and dad build houses, and they're on a job trying to get a house started. And today they could have two guys, which is the minimum you could do safely. It should be a 4-man crew. Maybe a fifth guy is a cub carpenter out there. And the best they could get out there today was two. And that happens all over the place. You'll see that on a regular basis. We're still dealing with a shortage. And that, again, is another one where I would say to a young person, if you want to buy a house, go into one of these trades, because you're going to make more money than a lawyer at some point because there are none of you around.
You got to work.
The wages have gone up, and the number of people that are able to do these trades is way down. You could find a job anytime.
Yep.
Boy, I hope
you gotta work hard.
You gotta work hard, but
it's a good lesson. Hey, Sean, thank you so much. This was great. I was hoping to find out some information. You were very helpful, and I appreciate it. It was great to see you in person down in Eureka last week as well when Mark Cox was there. We'll talk soon. Thank you, Sean.
See you later, Mark. Bye.